I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. KSLSports.com is where you can find the website with all the insider info that you need and love. You can also download all the podcasts of all the different shows throughout the day right here. Just go to KSLSports.com or look up all the shows, look up Unrivaled right there on your podcast platform of choice. So there you go. The show, of course, always brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars. If you've seen them in the refrigerated section at different associated foods, at your Holiday Oil and at your Mavericks, you need to give them a shot. So if you see them and you go, oh, I heard Unrivaled talking about this, I'm going to try one of these. Do it. Awesome, awesome protein bar. Give them a shot. We're going to start things off right here, a little discussion of BYU Wyoming right here at the top of the hour. Let's get to the cut right here.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. Cody Tucker joining us. He covers the Wyoming Cowboys for 7220sports.com. He's on his way out from Laramie, Wyoming. I'm assuming, at least. What part of Wyoming are you driving in from, Cody?
I actually live in Cheyenne, but it's only 45 miles.
So. Eh, it's not that
and
far.
And a beautiful day.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you don't have I-80 closed because of high winds. That's a good start, and that's all you can ask for.
And the wind is hauling today, I must say. I'm shocked that it hasn't been closed. So I'm almost to Utah here.
There you go. All right. Well, Cody, this is an interesting game. I think people really want to know what happened last week. How did Wyoming scheme Air Force to the point of shutting down the best running attack in the entire country and holding them to basically a third of the amount of yards they usually get per game on rushing?
Yeah, pretty wild, man. This Cowboys team is the third youngest in the country, and that defensive side of the ball had a ton of turnover, lost a ton to the transfer portal last year. But defensive coordinator Jay Sauvel, he said once the schedules came out and they saw that Air Force was on a short week, they started prepping for them in July. They dedicated a couple of days in spring ball to the Falcons. They also did the same in fall camp, and really paid off. You know, Wyoming traditionally plays that triple option attack very well. And this time they kind of gave the Falcons a dose of their own medicine. Starting with the opening drive, Cowboys went 15 plays, chewed up 7 minutes plus on the clock, and unfortunately ended only in a field goal for the Pokes. But to get some points and to drag the clock like that and keep the Falcons' defense on the field, that's what they've been notorious for forever. So, and really the beauty for the Pokes was the last drive of the game. They kept the ball only 30 yards, but 7 plays, and they took all 4 minutes and 37 minutes or 37 seconds off that clock. So they really gave them a dose of their own medicine, and they had the pitch man all night long, and they do have a couple of veteran defensive tackles that shut down the fullback all day, and it just it clogged things up, and they had them covered on the outside, and there wasn't much. They really suffocated them.
Interesting, too, because, you know, you see that everybody here – in Utah, who's following BYU, saw that line, that score line at the bottom of their TVs, and they went, Okay, hold on a minute here. Doesn't BYU play this Wyoming team next week? And doesn't BYU have a hard time currently getting the ball going on the ground? That certainly was a point that I'm sure that everybody who's a Wyoming fan saw this week, is that BYU, for as powerful as they could be on offense, right now that run game's not going.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. That's been a big point of emphasis this week. But on the flip side, you know, a one-dimensional BYU team is still pretty darn solid, especially, you know, Hall's throwing the ball over the yard. Craig Bohl's been really impressed with him on film and knows that guy can be just as dangerous with his feet and he can make plays happen. So I guess, I don't know if you've heard if the two wide receivers are playing yet. I heard they're practicing this week. So we don't know about that, but we do know that they've had a heck of a time running the football, and that is definitely the Cowboys' strength.
Yeah, we know as much as everybody else does, which is, yeah, they practiced, and yeah, it's a game time decision. and I think one injury is a little bit more severe than the other. The one you got, I think that BYU fans could maybe at least have their fingers crossed for is that Puka Nacua, the more flashy of the two wideouts, could be the guy making the appearance. If he does, I'm not sure. I mean, I everybody's dying for this kid to get back because he is, you know, aside from Jaren Hall, probably the most important part of this offense. And so that's
I don't know. I don't know if everybody's dying for that.
I don't know if the Cowboy fans are excited about that, but certainly. It is. It's one of those things that everybody, after last week's loss to Oregon, everybody was scratching their head. Everybody's hoping for a reset with this team. BYU and Wyoming have a history, but not a recent history. You think about the 2016 bowl game, and then before that, it was playing conference games against one another in 2010. That's the last time these two teams kind of really got to face off against one another. How do we let people know on this young team, and how's Craig Bohl kind of letting his team understand how big of a rivalry this really was at some point?
You know, that was a real big question. I was born and raised in Wyoming. I know how, you know, the bad blood is absolutely there on this side, no doubt about it. Always has been. And it really has flared up this week, and it's been kind of fun to see that because it's been so long. And, you know, the big main question for Wyoming fans is, who do you hate more, CSU or BYU? And there's really no wrong answer. So it's fun, but I asked Craig Bohl in his press conference this week if he was going to talk to the players or have former players come in or anything like that. And he said he felt it was counterproductive. They know how big this game is. They know what it means to the people of Wyoming. And, you know, then when you talk to some players, he said, not quite. During camp, a member of the Black 14 came and talked to the team about how important it is to beat BYU and how important that is to, the history of this rivalry and some of the things that went into making it such a fierce rivalry there for a while. And I think some fans are really not excited to have this game on the docket because of BYU leaving the Mountain West. And there's seriously no love loss on this side of the border. Right. I can definitely tell you that. But there's also the people, especially on the Western Slope, who are excited about this. It's closer to go to Provo than it is to Laramie. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but what's not a mixed bag is the word hate has been tossed around an awful lot this week.
It's interesting to hear the old players from the BYU side of things, too, go, this is a game that I wish was always off the schedule. You know, the next time you want to play Wyoming, I think that a lot of folks went, yeah, it's a time too soon if you have to play them, you know, anytime around this time of year. And so that – But Craig Bohl also goes, why wouldn't we want our kids to have this shot? It's a ranked team. It's in a historic venue. It's a great opportunity for these kids to go see a full, giant, big stadium. And it's, you know, this is, aside from the bad blood and the history that's been there, that's as much as you want for your team to be able to go in and try to take a shot at a team that's ranked and that it's going to have a TV presence on it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And one of the beauties of this young group, as Craig Bohl often alludes to, is they didn't know that they were supposed to lose to Air Force by 16 points last week. They got handed it pretty good in Illinois in the opener. And while the sky was falling within the fan base, it wasn't falling in the most important spot, which was the Wyoming locker room. And that's the resiliency of being a young group. They didn't know that they weren't supposed to bounce back, and they didn't know that they're supposed to win games or lose games. And that's kind of what's at hand right now. And it's a really nice opportunity. I know they're certainly excited about it. They are learning about this rivalry. They know it's a big deal, but from the outside looking in, you can't help but say, you know, BYU is always a huge, mature, veteran, old team, and Wyoming is young across the board. I mean, looking into it early this week, there's still five guys on BYU's roster that were on the roster during the 2016 Poinsettia Bowl. That is crazy. And the guys on Wyoming's team were in junior high school, some of them elementary school. So it's really, you know what you're going to get from BYU. You know, they haven't changed. They haven't changed. So it's interesting. It's always an interesting battle, but with Wyoming being so young, I think people are really interested to see how that's going to fare.
Andrew Peasley's a guy that people are here a little bit more familiar with because he was at Utah State for a chunk of time, and they kind of know what he can do. The athleticism of Andrew Peasley doesn't escape Kalani Sitake. Talked a lot about him this week. And so what have you liked about Andrew Peasley, or what does he need to get better at?
I absolutely love Andrew's demeanor. That first game in Champaign was brutal.
Yeah.
He was 5 of 20 for 30 yards and a pick. It was so bad, and that's where the sky was really falling because, oh, great, another quarterback who can't throw, another quarterback who has a horrendous completion percentage, and that's what Wyoming fans were thinking because since Josh Allen's been here, and even when Josh was here,
he didn't have a great percentage. Right. What was it, like 50%? They showed it, and they were like, hey, in college he was 56%, in the NFL he's like 74% now. It's like wild.
Exactly. So it was like, oh, great. This guy was supposed to be seasoned, and this guy was supposed to bring that completion percentage up. And what a job he's done over the last 3 weeks. He's just been that calm leader. And the beauty of this whole thing is the change that we've seen in Craig Bohl. Andrew Peasley got a lot of guff on social media after that loss at Illinois, and he actually dumped his Twitter, and people were saying some really awful things to him. And I don't know how things roll in Logan, but when you're the only show in town like you are in Wyoming, you have fans that are very unhappy with performances like that, and he got the brunt of it. And Craig Bohl actually got behind the podium and squirted a couple of tears and hit the podium, punched the podium, talking about his love of Andrew Peasley and the work he's put in. So you didn't see that kind of emotion from Craig Bohl ever. And now you can tell he really loves this team and he really loves the youth, and it's almost making him young again, and he's really changed his philosophy in that regard.
It's interesting because you brought that up, and you can ask Utah State fans who were throwing the boo-birds down on Logan Bonner when they were losing to Weber State last week or 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real. You win the Mountain West Championship last year, and then you come in and you have a bad performance against an FCS team, and the boo-birds come out at halftime. The people get fired up. They don't care what you did last year. What have you done for me lately? So that's the part of it that always stinks for college football. And then there's the part two where people go, well, these guys are – this is the NIL era. We can fire out some shots across the bow on these college kids. It's like, not in Laramie, not in Logan. They're not, you know, reeling in a ton of NIL dough. So you can't go after those kids for it. But Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com is where you can read his byline. He's covering the BYU Wyoming game for Wyoming, we're partway through this thing, and it's always fascinating to see how quickly the season goes by and to see how these things kind of roll out. What do you expect in terms of fans coming to Provo, attending the game from Wyoming? It seems like one that it's a close enough jaunt, I think, for people to go, hey, and it's a big enough stadium to go, hey, that's going to be a fun atmosphere. Let's check it out.
Yeah, no, I think they are. If they're anything like me, that place has been a house of horrors, and I never thought I'd ever be back in that place, let alone that town. So this is going to be new for me as well. But yeah, I think some fans are going to show up, and I think it'll be some fans that said, wow, I didn't expect them to do that to Air Force. So if they can do that to them, maybe they can do it to BYU. Let's go make a quick trip over the hill here. And, I think just with the Western folks, the Western Wyoming fans, it's so hard, as you alluded to earlier about the highway closing. That is a very common occurrence, and it's really hard to get from Evanston, Wyoming to Laramie, Wyoming in the winter. It's just not, half the time, just not passable. So this is their chance to see them play, and it brings back the rivalry is real on this side, and maybe not with the players as much because they just don't know, but with the fans, it's still very much there.
Have you covered a game out at Lavelle Edwards Stadium yet?
I've actually, you know, I grew up here, like I said, so I was actually a hardcore Wyoming fan growing up, and we made the trip from Cheyenne to Provo for, I want to say, 7 games, and even went to the Marriott Center and stuff when the Cowboys played there. So I have been in the stands for at least 7 games there, and they have not been fun at all.
Well, the food is a lot better on the media side of things, so when you show up and you come to the game, you'll have a lot more fun in the press box. So we're looking forward to it.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, we'll I'm sure we'll cross paths. If I see you tomorrow, we'll high five and we'll chat a little bit about it. So thanks for hanging out with us. Cody Tucker, 72 Sports or 7220sports.com. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you bet. All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. Got more to go here around the corner. And we've got an NFL roundup, which is going to be really fun to do without the NFL quarterback here. And just got word, the wedding went through. So it's official.
Sweet.
Nobody backed out. There you go. You know what that means, too? The reception's on, which means, again,
food for you.
The free food, okay? So we're going to go that direction. We've got more to go here, though. We'll wrap up the show with an NFL roundup, or this hour with an NFL roundup and a two-minute drill. So you want to stay right here with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.